Okay, hey gang, we've been on the start of the book of John, and by the way, love the artwork up here. I want to thank Terry Hodges for putting that up there. That's beautiful, right? Not, it's not as sexy as the whale, but there's no whale in the book of John. So anyways, thankful that he did that. And we're doing something a little different. Right now we're on a little series called the I Am series. I Am, that's Moses getting ready to deliver the people out, and he's like, man, they ain't going to listen to me. Israel ain't going to follow me. What should I do here? And he's like, you tell them the I Am. Woo! I Am. This is God. And Jesus Christ comes on the scene. And we've already seen where he says, he's like, man, I'm the bread of life, man. I'm the real bread. Then he says, I am the light of the world. And now we're going to enter a chapter, John chapter 10. There's two I Ams here. And they're very similar and related. I'm going to split them up between this week and next week. And you guys know where this is heading, right? I am, and then we're going to be, I'm the way, the truth, and life. All these I ams are going to lead up for 5 Sundays from now. And after this one, we're going to hit Easter Sunday morning. And Jesus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So that's that. We're building up for Easter. There's little invite cards back there, by the way, just about our church. Say, hey, man, check it out. If you want to come, let's fill the place. Let's bring people just so they can hear, you know. Hear the word of the Lord. Because we have a culture where the Bible's not being preached anymore. We need to preach the Bible. Preach God's word. By the way, if you're, you know, my age, a lot of your friends even went to church. But people that are younger than me, a lot of people didn't go to church. It's called postmodern Christianity, where we've reached a spot where people don't know. And I'll literally be in with a group of college students, and I remember saying, well, you guys know the story of, and I would mention like a biblical story that you and a lot of us would be familiar with, and it'd be like, no? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I better tell that story then, so this makes a little bit of sense. So we're in John chapter 10, and he says in verse 1, John 10 in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things they were which he spake unto them. And then watch verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And what we find here is, and this whole chapter is really talking about sheep and a shepherd. You get down to verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. And so verse 14, I am the good shepherd. So the two I ams here, one, he says, he's obviously saying he's the shepherd. I am and the shepherd, the good shepherd. But then he also says, I am the door. Today we're going to cover the door. We're going to cover the door where Jesus says, I am the door. It's in the context of sheep. I think this is kind of a beautiful passage. You know, I've studied doors in the Bible, like every time they appear, and there's a lot of neat things about doors in Scripture, and my goal is not to, you know, do that. I really want to put the emphasis on Jesus says, I am the door. But, you know, doors have a great, they have a great purpose, and they probably have more of a purpose than sometimes we even think about. Now, one would be they're just physical barriers, right? That's what a door is. Shut the door, man, right? They're primarily there just so they can, there's a physical barrier between two different areas. You got to go into the bathroom. Shut the door. My wife had to say that to me yesterday. Josie moved back home for just a week. She's here on a short break. And Becky could hear me in the bathroom. Going to the bathroom, she goes, hey, do you got that door open in there? And I was like, yeah, it's my house, my bathroom. She goes, your daughter's home. Shut the door. I was like, that's a good point. And so, but that door's there for a reason. They separate two rooms. And basically, you know why that door is there? Privacy. And also a little security, right? Doors can be that. They're a physical barrier. Me and Bob Berry were doing some counseling down in Belize. And there was a pastor that was messing up. He kept letting bad things into his life, and it was destroying a family. The whole time we're talking to these people, there's a loose screen door just cobbled up together. And it kept opening up a little bit, and these chicks kept coming in the house. They had chickens. Like, we're sitting in the dining room, like, looking down, there's three or four chickens. And this lady kept, get out of here, get out, you know, chasing these. And finally, Bob spoke up and just said, that's it. Why wouldn't you just shut the door? There's a little hook on it. You can hook it. If it opens up on its own, some doors do it. Put the hook on it. Why wouldn't you do that? You've chased chicks out of the house like 27 times now. If you just shut the door, they wouldn't be in there. And then he was able to look at the pastor and said, and if you would just shut the door to your life. He was letting chicks in his life too, now that we think about it. Just not them kind of chicks, you know. It's like, don't let the chicks in, dude, I'm telling you. It'll mess your life up. You know, but yeah, just close the door. It's a barrier there. That's what doors are for. You know, another one besides just being privacy, I like to lean towards safety. Doors are for protection. You know what doors do, gang? They control access. That's what they do. And most doors are lockable, right? And people do that for a reason. I went to hear a guy a couple weeks ago. They take the security up to another level, and they just said, here's the deal. The front doors to this event's not going to be open. You got to go through this atrium because we got security. You got to go through, and they got to check you and all that. It's like, oh, I get it. See, that door was closed for a reason. They didn't want anybody just walking in there, you know. And we got to be careful of that today. Years ago, you'd never think about it. I had a football player here not too long ago just say, man, Pastor, I went to your church the other night. Just I was in a bad way, man. I just wanted to pray, and I couldn't get in. I was like, what time was it? He's like, it was like 10 at night. I was like, yeah, and he goes, I didn't think churches ever locked their doors. I said, dude, you've been watching too many Westerns, man. It don't work that way anymore. We got sound equipment and computers in there. It's a way of safety and protection. And another thing, doors, you know, especially not just the physical barrier and the safety, but a real privacy issue is there too. And, you know, it just gives you privacy. Sometimes you just need to go. And what do you tell your kids when they're out of control? You're like, I already beat the kid 17 times. What do you say? Go to your room! Just get in your room! And they can go in there, and guess what? They need a little private time, a little quiet time. And I don't know about you, but Jesus went to a solitary place and prayed. We got to do the same. Go to a place where you have some privacy and pull the door. No noise. Block it out. And you and the Lord can, you can cry, you can pray, read His Word. It's important. People don't like to think of climate control, but that's a big issue for doors too today. Temperature, heating and cooling, all that type of stuff. Keep the door closed. You know how it is. Were you raised in a barn? You know, yeah, pretty much, you know. And then I'm like, Mom, the door's shut. She's like, no, but your zipper's not, you know. Shut the door, you know. In the wintertime, we do that. You know, even here as a church, we're like, oh, man, can we block in that entrance between the kids' building and this building? It would help in the wintertime a lot. Because, you know, you open those doors, the cold air comes in. It's horrible, right? So it can control the climate for sure. You know, doors also provide sound insulation. They block out noise. And so that's important. We live by a graveyard, and they like to mow the grass. Every time I go out on the porch, decide I'm going to spend a little time with Jesus. And all of a sudden, some guy fires up the zero. I mean, this is sweet. I was listening to birds, and now this dude's cutting the grass, you know. And so I have to go inside, and I close the door, and all of a sudden I don't hear that near as loud. It becomes a way to close out outside noise. And you can see where I'm going with all this, right? Because Jesus is the door. We need to use Him. Some of us are listening too much to the world. Some of us ain't having enough quiet time. Some of you need to be alone a little bit more. You got to get alone. Moms, especially moms with kids, man, little kids. I feel sorry for you. I'm not lying. We've experienced it in our house because I'd be gone. I'd come home. My wife's ready to kill herself. And I'm thinking, my, what in the world? You get to be home with the kids. What do you mean? Yeah. Well, then you spend an hour with them. You tell me. And sure enough, you know, I'm just like, I invented shaking baby syndrome, man. I'm like, this is, they're driving me crazy, you know. And it's true. You need some protection. You need some security in your life. Guys, that security is Jesus. He's the door that we need. And you know what they tell you? They tell you, like, fire safety comes in. And they're like, okay, we needed to do this. We at least need, like, three exits for so many people. Like, if you just have a building, you have one entrance and one exit, the same door. They're going to shut you down. You have to have multiple escapes. And if you look, that's it as far as what we did some things over in that other building over there just to show that. And we had to make sure that, like, oh, okay, the nursery, oh, there's only one door to get, well, you can go through the preschool room too now. They wanted all that to be in place, mainly for safety, just so people could get out. You know, the crazy thing is, that's nice that people are concerned about that. But did you know in life, in entering eternity, there's one door. It's Jesus Christ. Somebody shut the door. I can hear the kids. Okay. Oh, I was joking. It really is open. But the bottom line is, for eternity, by the way, the door that you find that Jesus says, he's the door to eternal life. It's eternity. If you don't enter through that door, guess where you're going? Yeah, he is the door. And so, and people are just like, oh, well, he's a pretty good guy. Well, I think he went to church. That's not a door. Jesus is the door. The door is a person. So don't think like, oh, we got a door here. We got doors back there. Oh, we can escape here. You can go through the kitchen. There's a door out there. Many ways. There's many ways, isn't there? You know what the Bible says? There's just one way. When it comes to life, this is how serious it is. And guys, honestly, maybe this is a little bit of the reason why I might be a little bit more bold to say, let's watch a commercial that everybody seems to love. A lot of Christians love it. Guys, we shouldn't totally just love that. You know why? Because the Jesus of the Bible, he's the door. They're trying to provide like alternate doors and alternate places to get in. No, he is the door. You know what it says here in verse 7 in John chapter 10? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So let me stop for 1 second and steer a little bit away from the door and say what the part I want to emphasize here is he says, I am the door of what? Of the sheep. He's only the door for the sheep. You know, I'm a father. I got 2 daughters and a wife. And you know what? I got a cat. I got a dog. And you know how I protect them? Well, doors. We'll get in bed. My wife still does this. All these years we've been married, we get in bed. What's the first thing she says to me? You gonna lock the door? Lock it your freaking self. I'm tired of it. I literally say, and she will. She'll say, fine, I will. Hey, did you turn down the heat? You're more concerned about it than me. You turn the heat down when you're going to bed. It just makes sense to me. You know, and of course, you know, we did the other night, you know, she's like, quit letting the dog out the front door. She goes, I'm telling you, the coyotes are throwing holler. Man, he got caught. He got it, man. He almost got killed. You know, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Shut the door. Lock the door. But that door's there. But you know, I got news for you. That door is there for my family. They're my fold. I'm responsible for them. I don't care if you don't lock your door. And if you don't, let me know, because I'll know where to go when I need something, right? That's how that works. Don't you like people to do that on Facebook? They'll put stuff like that on. I don't know about you. When I first moved here, I was like, oh, a little town like this. Where I grew up, you locked your car doors. Here, I'd get to the grocery store, and people leave their car running. And it'd be wintertime, and they go in the grocery store, and I'm just like, I could just drive off with this car. Ain't that crazy? I just couldn't believe it. People did it. And then he lived here long enough, and I'm like, I started doing it. You know? Like, my gosh, I'll just go in there. And like, you can't. And the other day, I realized how foolish I was. I left my cell phone. I left my computer all in the front seat, all unlocked. I was just going in to save a lot. And I went in. I came out. Door not locked. I opened. I was like, oh, I'm glad you guys are still here. I forgot to lock the door, you know. That would have been an easy one. The bottom line is, he says, I am the door of the sheep. So I got news for you. This door don't apply to you if you're not part of the fold. He only protects his own. I got a question for you. Do you really belong? Are you really part of the fold? Is the Church of Jesus Christ your tribe? Are you part of the family of God? I remember as a little kid, man, our church would bust out on Sunday nights when they'd leave. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I was a little boy and I wasn't. Just like, It was their little, you know, it's like people that go to a certain school or a certain sorority and all of a sudden they can sing the march song, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know the song because you don't belong. You're not part of this fraternity. You're not part of this group of people. 1 Corinthians 12 says, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. If you're saved, if you've been through this door, if you know Jesus Christ, guess what? You're part of a greater body. You're part and you belong. And other people do not, but they want to think they do. And I say, don't ask me what. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, hey, take heed to yourself and to the flock. We got a flock of people. You know, as a pastor, one of my jobs, the Bible says, is to take oversight. Because there's wolves that want to come in. And that's why you can always tell. Next week we're going to really cover this when it talks about shepherds and these hirelings and these robbers. They don't care. Guys, I had a conversation with a man. He left our church in a bad way. And I was fired up. And I, you know what I remember? I said these words to him. I said, you know what's crazy? You're going to walk out of this church, and any church you go to, they're going to be like, hey, we got a visitor. We got another guy. And I says, and Sunday, remember me when I'm there, and everybody's going to say, hey, where is so-and-so? I have that people say that to me all the time. Hey, I noticed, where's so-and-so at? Where's that? I was just like, but guess what? You can go and be a hero wherever you want to be. I'll stay behind with the fragmented pieces and we'll figure this thing out. And the bottom line is, and then I said this to him. I just said, I didn't cuss. I wanted to, but I didn't. I said this. I said, you know I'm joking when I say that, right? Kinda. But what I said is, I was like, you don't care about the church. I do. When you're vested, you can't just walk away. You can't do it. We're the church, man. And he's the door of the sheep. He's our protector, right? But I got oversight, you know? You remember the commercial? Hey, Sam. You know, the cartoon, the sheepdog. Who was it? Sam and who? Ralph. Hey, Ralph. I liked it because they were total enemies, man. Till the end of the day, you punch your... See you tomorrow, Ralph. Say, Sam, you know? It was like, yeah! I am the door of the sheep. I'm glad I'm part of this fold. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Guys, we need to be together. Don't let culture, don't let COVID, all that stuff that kind of separated the church. It was a scary time. We're meant to be together. And he's the door of the sheep. You're protected in the fold. We're here to, we love and serve you. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he goes, you know, do this, one to another. That's right. That's what you do. So he says, I am the door of the sheep. And I'm going to skip verse 8 and then verse 9. He just says it again. By the way, did you know the words in the Bible? Everybody's like, my gosh, this is a big Bible, isn't it? No, John chapter 21 says, if everything that would have been written about Jesus Christ that could have been written, the world itself couldn't contain the books. I was overwhelmed as a kid. We got an encyclopedia set given to us by somebody. I just remember thinking, I'd get there and I'd be like, my gosh, I just feel smart having these books in my house. As a kid, I'd open up and look for the pictures. Like, I was like intrigued. Like, so much knowledge. They were called the Book of Knowledge. That's what the name of these encyclopedia sets, you know. Everybody needed to have one, right? My gosh, and the Bible says, if everything that had been written about Jesus, the world couldn't contain the books. Meaning that God handpicked every word that we have this morning. To be a Christian and to be saved for years and said you'd never read the Bible, you know what that is? That's just nothing to paint a stripe up your back. You are a lazy person. Yeah, but it's hard. You ever read the book of Leviticus? Yes, I have. And yes, it is hard. But God handpicked it. Why did he put it in there? If he handpicked every word, why is that difficult passage in there? I don't know. I got to read it anyways. I know it. But believe me, I'm reading the same book you're reading, right? And so the bottom line is this. He handpicked every word. And why does he say twice here? Verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. And then just one skip one verse, we're in verse 9. He says, and by the way, I am the door. I'm like, hey, Jesus, you already said that. Yeah, don't forget it. Listen to me. Hey, are you hearing me? That's what every parent does, don't we? You repeat it twice. Famous football coach Bear Bryant, I had a video clip of him in the locker room at halftime. And he's up there with these guys, and they were losing. He's like, here's what he did. It went just like this. He's like, boys, they got us up against the ropes. Boys, we're up against the ropes. Now I'm telling you, when you go down this side over here, and he started drawing on this chalkboard, he's just like, do you hear me? Things have got to be different. He repeated like everything he said. And I thought, my gosh. And honestly, I've been around football coaches quite a bit, not just playing, but I always thought, oh, Coach Braun for the Mama Scots, he repeats a lot. Okay? Until everybody said, yes, coach, we got it. I was like, Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus Christ is the door. He says it twice because he wants us to remember it. In Revelation, he says, you know, I set an open door and no man can shut it. You get to Revelation chapter 4 and he just says, and there was a door opened in heaven. Guess what? What's that door in heaven? If you ever look up with a telescope, look towards the north. There's three heavens, the Bible says. And every once in a while, there'll be a light like goes off. All of a sudden, it'll be real bright, and somebody will say, yeah, that's the North Star. But it's like it keeps going, like you don't see a light, and then you see a light. What is that? Jesus Christ is the door. I always wonder, my gosh, like that Revelation 4, when there was a door opened up in heaven. There's only one door that opens up into heaven. It's Jesus. He's the only one. We got to tell people about him. He clearly says he's the door. You know what I love about Jesus? If you look at doors in Jesus, he is the door. So doors mean nothing to him. Remember when he died? Where they're like, let's roll a great big rock as a door on this tomb. Because people are going to come try and get his body out. They're going to claim that he resurrected. You know, it was nothing to roll that stone away. Matter of fact, you know how Jesus proved it? Because the angels rolled the stone away. And he's like, yeah, that was... He walked around. You know, we don't even think anything of it anymore. You just get ready to walk into Save a Lot, and I'm like, and I step on this pad, and the door just opens up for me. It's like magic. In some place, you just get near it, and you're whoosh, like, wow, these doors. Well, you know, that's all just a picture. It used to be you had to turn the key, didn't it? Push open the door. That's the only way you're getting in. It's kind of neat knowing Jesus Christ because it has that feeling. Every time you go through it, think of Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the door, man. And it's automatic. And he does the work. Man, this is incredible, isn't it? Well, it's modern technology. But he is the door. He got out of the tomb. Then the disciples are praying in a room and the Bible says no door was opened. And all of a sudden it says, and he appeared in their midst. And that's why they were all praying and they said, oh, oh my gosh! What? He goes, yeah, but you didn't come through the door. And Jesus had to say, guys, I am the door. Nothing held him back. Isn't it beautiful? Guys locked up in prison in the book of Acts. They're like, man, we're in trouble now. We're in all these shackles and the gates are all closed. What do we do? God's like, that's nothing for me. Poof, free. Poof, door opened up. City gates poof, opened up. I'm like, you know why that happens? Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. He says this in verse 9, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Guys, you've got to go through the door to get in. You don't get part of the family of God till you go through Jesus. Woo! John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Walk through the door. Walk through the door. He says down here in verse 26 in John 10, if you don't believe in me, you're not part of my sheep. That's right. There's only one mediator between God and man. And who is it? The door. How do you get to heaven? You got to go through the door. There's only one. It's Jesus. You don't want to go through the Jesus door, you don't get in. Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Jesus says, do you know Jesus? He's the door. And then you get to enter in. He says in John 14, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am. That's right. If the building catches on fire, we got a lot of options here. Well, one day for everybody, the building will catch on fire. There's only one way out. And if you don't know Jesus, my friend, one of my friends got saved. This guy told this story. This story, it was taken back in time. I forget how it all went down. There's a group of people. It was like one of these like Holocaust type of stories. They went in, the door closed. It caught fire. There was a fire in this people, and people could not get out. So all these people burnt to death in this room. And they said once they got in there, like even on the cement walls, there were like claw marks. Like people were digging stone and cement trying to get out of this fire. Because they said, there's no way. Guys, they got in through a door. They just never went through the door to get out. And they died. It's true. This is life. Man. I love how it says, he shall be saved. So guys, let me give you 3 points. They all start with the letter P. The first one, Jesus says, I am the door. Right? You know, I hope that, you know, and we look at door like it's a piece of property, right? And by the way, Jesus paid a price for you and me. So if you're part of the sheepfold, he's the door. And guys, years ago, think of how it would work. You got a group of sheep and at nighttime, you need to sleep a little bit. Shepherds can't stay up. I mean, they can stay up for a 24-hour period, but that ain't going to last long. This was before no-dos and meth, you know. And so they'd get around like, what do we do here? And they would find an area where they could barricade some in and sometimes even roll rocks. Because a lot of sheep are not going to jump over. It depends on how big the rock is. But they would literally, they would put it, get things all, you know, that's why as a counselor at a camp, and I used to counsel like young boys at church camp, guess where my bed went? Right by the door. You ain't getting in and out without me. Right? I am the door here. And it was for their protection, right? And so that's exactly what a shepherd would do. And all of a sudden you got these rocks and you got this area. And all of a sudden, sometimes the shepherd, and the one way out that he could lead those sheep out, that's where he would lay. Because no sheep's not, he'd wake up. He's going to wake up, not just if a sheep's trying to get out. He's going to wake up if a wolf wants to come in. He's the door. This is Jesus Christ. He's not just the good shepherd. He's the door. And people can be saved. So if you're part of his property, he'll say this. I am the door which will offer you what? Protection. Jesus Christ is the great protection for you and me. And that notice he says, and you shall go in and out. You'll go in and out, but you'll always go through him. I like this because Jesus said, hey, if you want to offend one of these little ones, there ought to be a millstone cast tied around your neck and you cast into the sea. You ought to get a pair of cement boots, boy. You mess with, remember that Paul comes along persecuting the church. God comes down, knocks him off his horse, blinds him by the light. That's where they get the song. He's blinded by the light and God comes down and speaks with his voice and just says, why are you persecuting me? Huh? I thought I was just, it was those people I was messing with. He's like, they're mine. Why do you kick against the pricks? You don't do that, dude. See, the great protection. I love it. I love when I read these stories in the Bible. I remember I just remember being at the school and my daughter had an accident at school. And she had some health issues. And they said, okay, she don't need permission to ask to go to the bathroom. She can just run and go. Well, out of courtesy, she's like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Hey, shut up, and I'll talk to you in a minute. You know, and they get back to business. Well, then she peed herself. It's embarrassing. And like so bad, I remember we got a call, and they said, hey, you need to come bring Josie some clothes. I think it was Josie, wasn't it? Okay, yeah, this was like... And you know what was really embarrassing? I was just like, yeah, but you live like 6 hours away. I don't want to bring you clothes up that far. This was last week. But sorry, Josie. My gosh, I've been so good about this. And anyways, I go into the school, and she was upset and embarrassed because they made her sit in the office. You know, so I walked in. I was like, pee pants, pee pants. I said, here, sweetie. And I even brought wet wipes. So we're going to clean you up here. And I pulled off her shoe. Her shoe was soaked inside. And guys, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, who did this? She's like, it's the gym teacher. It was gym class. I was like, well, and he knows? I was like, okay. And so I begin to like plot his death. You know why? And here's why, guys. And we got it all fixed and cleaned up, and it was very sad for me, but she's mine. She's mine. Like, and you didn't let her. I literally had to calm myself down because I'm just like, I will meet this guy in the parking lot after school and just say, you want to know what it's like to have pee in your shoes? Because I'm getting ready to pee in your shoes. I just want you to know that our God loves us. When you're part of his sheepfold, and, you know, there's a little TV show out called Yellowstone. And the one thing I've always liked is when you'll even see it sometimes in the commercials. If you have the brand, they would brand you with the Yellowstone marking. You're part of the fold. Even if you were a knucklehead and did something stupid. And, you know, these guys would show up and one of their guys would be getting beat up and they're just like, oh, guess what? You fight all of us now. Because they're part of our group. They're part. I just love it. It just always reminds me of like the church and Jesus Christ and what protection that you and me got. And guys, it ain't just protection. He said, you shall be saved and you can go in and out. Why do you need to go in and out? Wouldn't you just be protected to stay inside there? That's the problem today. You know what you want to do? We want to sell beef and we want to make money on it. So the best thing you could do is tie a cow up, you know, take some sheep and put them in a small kennel and just overdose them with drugs. That's what you do. Give them a lot of steroids and a lot of food. They get fatter quicker. They go to market. They weigh more money. It's all about money. But it's not healthy. That's why a lot of our meats are jacked up today. It's business, man. It's just business. I get some of it. But the best thing to do is animals do best and sheep do good when they're let out to pasture. And they can eat things that they were naturally supposed to eat. And by the way, if you look at some of the things sheep eat, there's like weeds and things that like will totally destroy a cow, and sheep can process it. It's crazy. Like they almost get rid of that and almost protect other animals. I kind of like that. But anyways, he says, you'll go in and out and find pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then what's he do? He leads me to what? To green pasture. He's taking me to places where, man, we're going to have to move these cattle. We got to move these sheep on from here, right? They got to eat and they got to graze, you know, and then they would move them on and drive them to other places. Why? Because he knows it's important to be nourished. It's important to have provision. Hey, let me throw a principle out right here. I think this is fantastic and I hope you do too. Did you know in the Bible it says, and there was waters upon the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So right when you see the Spirit of God in the Bible, he's always moving. God is always on the move all the time. What I love about this passage is it says, you know what? You know the door? You're part of the sheep, right? When you enter in, you'll be saved. And he says, you shall go in and out and find pasture. The whole point of the shepherd is because there's times to rest. There's other times that we need to find pasture. He's doing it for what's best and he's doing it for your provision. He's going to provide for you. So he's always moving. We've got to trust the movement of God. If we don't, it's called stagnant. You'll stagnate. You'll just sit there and it will not be good, especially like when you look at water. Herbs flourish, Isaiah 66 says. Jeremiah 50 says, nobody grown fat as a heifer at the grass. It uses that terminology. Yeah, because he's always moving along. So sometimes God's moving. We get comfortable in our routines. And you're like, my gosh, God, I'm uncomfortable with this. Guys, embrace the uncomfortable. Right? You're only getting out here because he is the door. And he stepped up and he become the shepherd. And you follow the shepherd. And he leads you to pasture. It's scary. You don't always know where you're going, but you gotta trust Him, right? So the great door, I am the door, when it's time in the morning to get up and go, He gets up and that door becomes your shepherd and your guide, and He'll lead you. And when you get to the next spot, you're like, man, what are we going to do now? This is scary, isn't it? There's a protection for you because your shepherd is the door to your life. Don't move without Him. Don't do it. People do that all the time. I think I told you guys this story last week. I ran into two different people, but one was a couple. But I got to talking with them, and anyways, they left our church years ago, and they left for not, it wasn't even bad reasons. There's options out there, right? Sometimes you just like to eat at Burger King instead of McDonald's. I don't know. So I just said, hey, what's up? And they're like, man, we've been listening to you guys online. I was like, really? What's your name again? You know, but they just said, yeah, we just wanted you to know that we've been listening online. And guys, it just kind of, there's something in it that made me feel good. Like, and nothing, I don't remember anything ever going wrong or sour or anything like that. But it was just beautiful, almost like, so maybe we need to come back. It's like, yeah, you belong with us, right? And some people, I truly believe, I just like, you know, you were not following the leading of God. He was not your door. You were not waiting for a great movement of God so that you could go out and come out and go in and lead you to green pasture. That's how you know that a lot of people, you know what they do? They're not the same. You talk with them and they leave, and you find out later on, they're like, man, he or she is unhealthy. Well, yeah, because they're not in green pasture. They're doing their own thing. Hey, guys, and we know this, right? Sheep cannot fend for themselves. Nothing but targets. You know what sheep are good for? To be eaten. They're good to make clothes out of. Besides that, sheep never get together and just like, okay, there's 30 of us and just a couple of these wolves. We can take them. No. You know what a good sheep farmer will do sometimes? I'm preaching next week's message now a little bit. You know what they get themselves? They get themselves a good jackass is what they do. They're great protectors of sheep. They hate coyotes. Or they'll get a llama. Llamas are the same. I'm like, that's the goofiest, stupidest looking animal there is. And yet, you know what? They're protecting the fold. You know, there's a good shepherd. Then what am I as a pastor? I'm a llama. I'm a sheepdog. That's part of the job. And I'm part of the sheep too. So, a mama. I am the door. And I wanted to repeat it again because he does. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Hey gang, you're in. If you know Jesus Christ, you're in. You're part of the fold. And now he says, you'll be saved. And then when we go in and out, now what? There's guidance there. There's a protection because he's the door. He ain't going to let anything come in. And when it's time to go out, he's going to lead you. And you'll find pasture. You'll have some real provision in your life. I don't know how people live their lives, man. Can you imagine that? Just imagine your house. Imagine in the Midwest and you have no front door. What in the world? It's going to be terrible, isn't it? This is how people live their lives. They totally just don't know. They suffer. People just suffer all the time. Like you do not have to suffer like that. He's the door. He can protect. You need some more climate control in your life. You better walk with Jesus, man. Right? You need that barrier. What about some safety? You know what some of you need? You need the door. You need to have some quiet time. Block the world out. Shut that door. Say, Jesus, thank you. I need these moments. Figure it out, right? Because there's just one way. Hey, gang, I am the door. I am the door. This is what Jesus said. So today, what did you get out of it? What's it for you? I hope we leave as evangelists. We want to tell people there's only one way. You don't go through this door, you ain't getting in. I used to sneak in the movie theater. We had a mall by our house, so you know what I'd always do. Sometimes you go up in front and pay for the rated G movie that they'd let you in as a little kid, and then we always knew there was something else playing. You know, down the road. And I remember, I'm like, we are going to go see Raw. That's what we're going to go see. Eddie Murphy came out that. And it's like, well, you're little kids. You can't get in there. Oh, yes, you can. We had to sneak in, though. Then some of my friends would go to the exit of the theater. And when nobody was looking, open that. And then three other friends would come in. They didn't even have to pay. It was a beautiful day. You know what it was? It was nothing but thievery. We were robbers. And it wasn't clean. Nothing was good, right? But we know the door. We know the right way in. It's Jesus Christ. Don't let people suffer like this. Let's tell them the good news, man. Amen? And let's. What's Jesus for you today? He wants to be the door in your life. Let him do it. Let him protect you. Let him allow, give you provision in your life. He'll do all that. So let's block out the world this week. Everybody spend time with the Lord every day. And I'm done. I'm going to pray right now. Jesus, thank you for being the door. Lord, I'm so thankful that I met you years ago. And Lord, you did all the work. And I've reaped nothing but great benefits from it, and like all of us. So I pray we leave today knowing that. I pray we leave today just rejoicing in what you've done. God, I want to pray right now for the person in this room that has never entered through the door. Lord, they think just maybe they're religious, or they've done some good things, or maybe they were baptized. All those things that don't count. You said the only way to be saved is to enter the door. And God, we believe you. And so I just want to pray for that man, for that woman that has never truly met you. And hey, guys, before you open up your eyes, maybe while we're praying, is there anybody here today that you would just say, hey, I need to be honest. I don't think I'm really part of the fold. I've never entered through the door. I've never met Jesus. Man, it's super simple how to do this. And we could show you how. I'd love to show you how in the Bible, or if you're a lady, I could take a lady that knows the Bible. She'll show you how to meet Jesus Christ, and you can enter into that door today. Your life will change forever. Is there anybody in the room today that would just say, hey, I need some help here. I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever entered through this door. And if you raise your hand, you know what I'm going to do? I'm literally just going to have some people meet with you, show you in the Bible. We'll take you out and we'll pray, and it'll be over. You'll say, my gosh, I'm saved now. I'm part of the fold. Is anybody here? Have you been through the door? Anybody need to? Just raise your hand. Get my attention. Religion don't cut it. Only Jesus. I think it's not so much that he gets us. Do you got him? Do you know him? Anybody? Lord, thanks, man. Thanks for your word today. It's been good. Good to sing to you. Good to be around your people. Just good to be gathered together, Lord. We flock well together. Thank you for this group of people that we get to do life with and get to walk with you. Thanks for being not just our shepherd, but the door. Thanks for the protection and the provision. Amen. Amen.